From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the 25th day of June 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Dave McKinstry of the Andersons Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, the corn growers have questions about acres in the farm bill, and the high price of fuel has the railways in the driver's seat. We'll have more in a moment with these and many more ag news stories. And then, have you contacted your insurance agent yet about flooded acreage claims? Better get to it. If not, we'll hear more from U of I Farm Management Specialist Gary Schnittke. Also, Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City will join us after the bottom of the hour to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL, public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, July wheat futures settled at $9 a penny and 3/4 cents, up 31 3/4. September at $9.20 1/4, up 32 1/4. And December wheat futures in Chicago for the soft red at $9.43 3/4, up 31 1/2 for the day. July wheat in Kansas City for the hard red at $9.38 1/4, up 28 3/4. July corn futures $7.30, a settlement price up 17 1/2. September up 17 1/2 at 7.44 1/2, and December futures 17 1/2 cents higher at $7.65 a bushel. March corn 7.82 3/4, up 18 1/4. July soybean futures $15.37 1/2, 36 1/2 cents higher. August at $15.40, up 36. September $15.27, up 35. And November soybeans up 34 cents at $15.25 a bushel. July soybean meal $410.20 a ton, $8.90 higher. July bean oil up 111 at $64.21. June live cattle from the CME Group's livestock side, 98.05, up 35 cents. The August futures at $104.40, down 27 1/2. August feeder cattle at 112.55, 92 1/2 lower. September futures finished the day at 114.25, down 55, and July lean hogs at 73.90, down a dollar even. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Outside market numbers like this for the afternoon: August contract in the crude oil at $134.58, down $2.42 a barrel. September futures at $133.46, down $4.06. July ethanol at $2.84.09, that's 0.9 cents lower, or rather higher for the day. August futures up 2 4/10 at $2.85. Natural gas, July at $12.75, down down 0.26 1/10 cents. And the August at 12.86 1/2, that's down 26 1/10 as well. July heating oil at $3.74 9/10, down 6 4/10. July propane just about unchanged from yesterday at 186. And the gold futures are trading the June contract now at $880 an ounce, down $9.20 for the afternoon. Dow Jones Industrial Average stands at 11,876. It's just about 69 points higher for the day. U.S. dollar at 72.95 is down 0.29. And the CRB index today at 450.61 is down 4 even for the afternoon. Here's the weather forecast for the two-state region tonight. In northern and central sections, it'll be mostly cloudy, some scattered showers and thunderstorms. In southern sections, partly cloudy, just a light chance of showers and thunderstorms. Lows will range this evening from 67 in the north to 71 in the south. Tomorrow in northern and central sections of Illinois and Indiana, a mix of clouds, sunshine, scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. In southern sections, partly cloudy, a slight chance of a shower or a thunderstorm. Highs will range tomorrow from 84 in the north to 92 in the south. Tomorrow, southwest winds, at 6 to 12 miles an hour. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from WILL in Urbana-Champaign.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. It's a Wednesday afternoon. We're joined by Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, to take a look at the futures markets in Chicago. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, I was reading some of the things online from DTN suggesting that rainfall across the Midwest was causing the price of grains to move higher. That's a little unusual, unless, of course, you have flooding conditions. But I thought we kind of needed a rainfall in some of the eastern Corn Belt at this time.
Well, Todd, some fields need rain, and other fields don't need a flood. And, you know, your point's well taken. A couple things. I just noticed the 6 to 10 and 8 to 14 day weather forecast, and it's normal for the great states of Iowa and Illinois. And on Kansas, the wheat harvest country, it's normal on the 6 to 10 and 8 to 14. It's above normal temperatures and below normal rainfall. And, of course, that's perfect wheat cutting weather when people are concerned about harvesting wheat. Yesterday, the weather forecasters, and there's one in particular that's been pushing the siren for heavy rains in the wheat country and then heavy rains in the Corn Belt. And quite frankly, some of the weather models are predicting, you know, some 2 and 3 and 4 inch rains. Well, historically, those can come in a 25-mile or a 10-mile radius instead of across Iowa, Illinois, and Indiana, and Ohio, that type of thing. And we have to clarify that. But another one here on this market, the CFTC indicated on the weekend that commodity funds are very short wheat, very long corn, very long beans. And we saw those spreads, people covering wheat and buying wheat, selling corn, buying wheat, selling beans. And then when that slowed down, the market exploded late in the trading day. The market is always right and once again indicates that the market is full of tricks. And we do get the feeling that wheat yields in Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas are excellent. Southern Illinois wheat is excellent. And Indiana, Kentucky. So there is a truth to this story about wonderful wheat yields, and at some point in time, we will supply enough wheat to the marketplace. The other trick that I hear up the government's sleeve, so to speak, on June the 30th, we get the feeling that there will be CRP acres announcement. And, you know, there is some room in this report of seeing some flooded acres in the cornfields, and reduced acreage there. And some of those acreage will be increased in beans. So we are looking at a lot of information. We think the commodity funds are lightening up a little bit here. But it, as you mentioned, there's a weather forecast for everyone.
Wait a second. Let me back up just a bit. On the acreage report, June 30, you think that they're going to open up CRP at that time in order to put more soybeans in the ground yet?
No, I think it's going to be announced to kind of calm the market for next year.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe if they open it up, that would be
something. I don't think it's an immediate deal, and I don't think anyone else does either. But what we're saying here is that, let's say we did plant more corn acres than the government's 86 million acre base.
Say 88?
Well, that's possible, but we have to subtract 2 or 3 million acres, or maybe 3.5 million acres of flooded acres.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what we're seeing here in the Midwest is a lot of those acres that were flooded out are going to soybeans. So the surprise could be more soybean acres and a few acres less corn. And as a result of that, the government basically says, hey, we want to let the world know that we're going to have the CRP acres to keep the wildfire from getting completely out of hand down the road. So I think it's a calming effect. The demand seems to at some point in time we do need the additional acres next year. But in the meantime, the market was very, very strong today and didn't want to go down. And some of it was the bullish fire was waived by the weather people to some extent.
And two other issues out of Washington we might want to discuss just a little bit. CRP, I know where you stand on that one. You think it ought to be opened up for the coming year. And it sounds
gently
opened up. You don't want the flood of CRP acres, that is. How do you stand on the index funds and the commodity markets and CFTC control and the government interfering in that?
You know, a watched pot is always necessary, and I'm going to defer that to the powers to be in Chicago and other places because they have a handle on it better than Paul Cooley.
Right,
and I think that, basically the powers to be in Chicago and the CFTC have got a pretty good handle on that.
Right, so they'll be watching that on crude oil commodity markets, but crude oil in general is the one I think that they're mostly worried about.
Well,
at this time.
I'm a little bit on the T-bone Pickens. We can't find enough, and yes, I believe that we need offshore drilling. And even though it comes in 2015 or 20, we are short of oil, and we need all the ethanol and coal, diesel, and everything else to keep this economy strong and moving. And that's where I stand on that one.
And on the RFS, I suppose the mandates. Should stay in place potentially from your point of view.
Yeah, and I think we can solve all these problems and squeak through there and make everybody happy.
What do you hear on this one? I was reading this online about extra ethanol gallons being blended at this point anyway, over and above what the mandates are for this year.
You know, anything to keep the fuel price from exploding is, I think, good policy and... I think that there is some squeeze on profitability on some ethanol.
Sure, on the
facilities,
ethanol plants.
And so that could limit production.
Yeah, I did read about a few bankruptcies that might be in the works at this point. We'll take that up when they get to the point that they're not rumors and are actually taking
but,
place.
But, the industry is very, very strong, and there's a lot of smart people out there running those plants.
Mm-hmm.
And, it brought a lot of wealth to the Midwest and some good prices for a change on the corn and soybean boards in the Midwest.
And speaking of that, on the corn at least, we're just off of the high prices for the year, for the decade, for the century, for all time. Anything producers should be doing?
Well, a good question. I was at a very lovely wedding this weekend in Dwight, Illinois, and people had come up to me and said, I still have old corn and old beans. And I said, bless your heart, don't forget to sell them. And, I think that's an attitude on that particular area. This acreage thing and the flooding is a very scary deal. And, we'll know more of what the government's doing because I think they are starting some spatial surveys on acreage, and that's going to be a big part of the equation. But the market is still going to be very bullish for several months, Todd.
Anything else to add? Maybe
have
on the
a profitable day, we are continue to get a lot of nice compliments about the giant WILL Ag programming.
Well, thank you very much, Paul, and it's in great part due to you. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. He called us a bit of a giant, but of course, Paul was one of the visionaries that helped us start this programming and the content that you'll hear each and every day on WILL and other radio stations about 20 years ago now. Our thanks to Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In today's agricultural news, officials of the National Corn Growers Association will be meeting with commodity and agricultural groups and officials with the Farm Service Agency, the FSA. They'll be asking questions regarding the new farm bill, specifically the new average crop revenue election or acre program. NCGA President Ron Litterer says NCGA wants to better understand its effects on growers. On the subject of the government, government officials say farmers and residents in northern Iowa are beginning to recover from June's heavy rains that brought high water lines and flooding along the Mississippi River. To date, 35 levees have overtopped. Navigation along the upper Mississippi River remains at a standstill because river stages remain high, keeping locks inoperable. The states of Iowa, Indiana, and Wisconsin appear to have been the hardest hit. As an indication, FEMA reports grants to households and individuals presently totals $48.7 million in Iowa, $33.7 million in Indiana, and $5.5 million in Wisconsin. And finally today, the high price of diesel fuel is changing the economics of hauling grain. Kevin Kaufman is vice president for ag products for BNSF Railway.
You know, two or three years ago, nobody would have ever talked about short-haul rail being an economic alternative simply because railroads basically, anything under 400 miles is usually not very much of an economic move.
But Kaufman says BNSF is now reevaluating its rate structure.
We have more and more calls now for short-haul rates. We are looking at a different rate structure. And actually, when you look at the cost of trucking versus rail, there may be opportunities to short-haul rail again, which kind of turns back the clock. But we're looking at it as a potential opportunity to gather, which, like I said, two or three years ago, we never imagined rail would be, something to be used for gathering grain, but we're looking at it again.
Kaufman is in North Dakota this week, meeting with elevator managers and other shippers. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from WILL in Urbana-Champaign, public radio for the farming world. I'm your host, Todd Gleason. Please visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org, willag.org. There you'll find this program, Commodity Week, and other agricultural programming that you can download and listen to it as MP3 files anytime you'd like. Free of charge, you can also sign up to have that delivered to your computer. Automatically comes in as a podcast. It's at willag.org. And don't forget to hit subscribe. That's over there on the right-hand side of the page for our absolutely free and really, really good weekend newsletter. It's all at willag.org. Now up next, farmers with flooded fields must contact their crop insurance agent and have it declared a total loss before putting in a second crop. Before a farmer takes the planter back to the field, the insurance agent should visit it, says an extension farm management specialist at the University of Illinois. Gary Schnitke assumes the flooded field is a total loss and was covered by a government-backed farm-level crop insurance policy, APH, CRC, RA, or an IP policy. He has this advice for producers who had already put a crop in the ground and then lost it to the floodwaters.
If it's in the ground and it's flooded, I'm going to assume that it's destroyed. There will be a crop insurance payment on that crop, and if it's destroyed, it'll be a zero yield. If we're looking at that sort of situation, and again, if it's flooded and it's destroyed, farmers should get a hold of their crop insurance agents and talk with them. And it's better to do this earlier rather than later and let them know that there is a loss out there.
The issue here is related only to the possibility of planting a second crop.
And let's say there was corn in the ground and it's destroyed now, flooding, and we're able to get a second crop in that that operation. The first crop needs to be have been declared destroyed by the crop insurance company before that second crop is planted, and crop insurance comes into play on that second crop.
So Schnittke says going through the adjustment process and having the first crop declared a total loss is key to getting the second crop covered by insurance.
And again, that has to be declared destroyed. That's in a flooding situation, that's probably not a big issue, but that could become an issue if somebody has a field of corn that, you know, is marginal, and those situations are more touch and go than a flooding situation.
The best rule of thumb is always call the insurance agent. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Learned Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Learned Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on a Wednesday afternoon. Time to take a look at the cash grain markets. Dave McKinstry of the Anderson's Climber Facility in Delphi, Indiana, joins us this afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Dave.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for being with us this afternoon. Cash grain markets in your area and basis holding up?
Basis seems to be getting just a little bit cheaper here in the nearby. We also did drop our new crop bid just a tad, too. So basis seems to be getting a little bit softer with the run-up we saw on the board today.
Yeah, so it's mostly related to the run-up on the board. Any other reasons behind
it? Well, Ralph, we're seeing rail values kind of diminish in the area as well. I think there's just a little more corn out there than we may have originally thought a month or two ago.
Your ethanol plant still turning a profit?
We're feeling pretty good right now.
So you've got it locked in. The question is how long?
Well, if you look at spot margins, I think even with the run-up today, I haven't watched closely to what ethanol's traded at, but I would think we're still in the black. We had pretty decent returns this morning when I looked at the numbers that were trading.
Was yesterday's sell-off enough of a scare to move any corn or soybeans?
You know, the soybeans are hard to find in the area.
Mm-hmm.
I think corn is more so in elevators, country elevators. Producers, I think, are going to hold out till we get a basis increase, and that's probably going to come. You know, we still see a good size carry into August, so I think producer bushels are going to hold out till then.
Do you need a rainfall?
We got a good little shower here this morning. We probably picked up 3/4 of an inch this morning, and probably felt pretty good. So I think we're in great shape as far as how the crop looks compared to other places especially. We couldn't feel too much better about it right now.
And finally, your bids for the day?
Nearby, I'm 693 here at the ethanol plant. July, I'm 697. August, 719. SEP, I'm 723. New crop, I'm 725.
Okay, thanks much, Dave.
Yep, thank you.
Dave McKinstry is with the Anderson's Climbers facility. He's actually at the ethanol plant, apparently, there in Delphi, Indiana. We appreciate him being with us this afternoon. On the Closing Market Report, be sure to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org, where you can listen to this program anytime you'd like. In 2 minutes, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast.
It's National Strawberry Parfait Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1867, barbed wire was patented by Lucison B. Smith of Kent, Ohio. His simple idea was that of an artificial thorn hedge consisting of wire with short metal spikes twisted on by hand at regular intervals. In 1898, Ferdinand Cohen died. A German naturalist, he is considered one of the founders of bacteriology and is known for his study of algae, bacteria, insect epidemics, and plant disease. In 1918, James Douglas died. Douglas, a Canadian-American mining engineer, helped develop the copper mining industry in the U.S. Southwest. He was co-inventor of the Hunt-Douglas process for copper extraction. In 1921, the process for converting coal dust and hydrogen directly into gasoline and lubricating oils was perfected. And in 1971, Sir John Boyd Orr died, a Scottish scientist and nutrition expert. He won the Nobel Peace Prize for his work to eliminate world hunger. In 1936, his report showed the cost of a diet fulfilling basic nutritional requirements was beyond the means of half the British population, and that 10% of the population was undernourished. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the weather in the Midwest.
Well, wet, wet, wet. It seems like we said this once before a few times this year. We do have a lot of rain that's going to come across the Midwest over the next 2.5 days or so, actually taking us through a big part of the weekend. A slow-moving upper-level low-pressure system will produce waves of rain across the region once again, and some heavy rainfall is expected. Last night, of course, we had some 4 to 8-inch-plus amounts of rain in northern Missouri. We could see something like that occur in other pockets around the Midwest over the next couple of days, but we certainly are not expecting any kind of widespread heavy rain event quite like that. Most of the rain that occurs across the region is probably going to run in the 0.5 to 1.5-inch range, but we will definitely see some local totals getting up to 3 inches or even a little bit more than that. As far as the percentage of the Midwest that's likely to see that kind of heavy rain, I would doubt seriously we would see more than maybe 25% of the region getting hit with the most torrential type rains where we have some significant flooding taking place. So outside of those low-lying areas that are still fighting the floods out there, I think the majority of the Midwest will do okay with this rain event. It'll be preceded and followed by warm weather again, and we'll start to evaporate some of this moisture away.
We're moving into a drier period normally across the Midwest. Can you look out a little further for me?
Yeah, I think that we will head down that road, but be real honest with you, with all the moisture that we've got on the ground right now, it's going to be very difficult for a high-pressure ridge to move into the region and prevail for any great length of time. What will happen here is that the high-pressure system will come in, it'll set up, it'll look like, oh boy, we're going to be dry for a while. And what will happen is we'll get a lot of feedback moisture coming up out of the ground, putting moisture, water vapor into the atmosphere, and it'll be destabilizing the atmosphere with the afternoon heating, and presto, we'll have more shower and thunderstorm activity occurring underneath the ridge, which it will then weaken the ridge. So it's going to be very difficult for us to have a prolonged period of dry weather across the heart of the Midwest for a while. I think eventually, later in July, we'll probably see that evolve. But it will be a very slow and arduous process just simply because of all the moisture that's around.
Well, continued rainfall will be probably pretty good for most of the crops, despite the wet weather we started with the exception of the wheat, and they'd like to have a little drier weather to harvest wheat in the Midwest. They've had awful dry weather, speaking of that, out in the southwestern part of the Great Plains states, haven't they?
Yes, they have had some drier days out there, but, you know, and they've got some going right now, which will be certainly welcome. But they did get some decent rainfall across that region last week, and I say decent in the sense that it was great for corn and cotton as well as some of the other summer crops out there in the Southwest Plains, but it wasn't quite so welcome for some of the wheat crop there, and we did get some delays in field work. The outlook right now does provide some additional shower and thunderstorm activity in the southwest U.S. plains, but I think it's probably going to be a little bit more of a deterrent to harvest progress in wheat country rather than a beneficial thing, at least on the near term. Certainly some of the summer crops in the region will benefit, but I think there's a lot of concern out there about the quality of that wheat crop that's still trying to be harvested. This particular weather pattern over the next 2 weeks is probably not going to be serious enough to further reduce the quality of that crop, but the worry will still be out there.
Drew, thanks much for joining us today.
Have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner is the senior analyst at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Wednesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a very good afternoon.